If you freaking don't want to fight, then you freaking might as well stop right now. Are you going to stop fighting? You're behind in this fight. Damn it. Take this. You're behind in this fight. You're not listening. You got 12 minutes left. That's 4 rounds. What you do in the next 12 minutes, you're going to have to live with for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years of your life. Your little son, he's not going to be told that his son beat Holyfield. He's going to be told he beat lost to a guy named Bolter. Who was brought up with no talent. You understand? Anything you feel, he's feeling the same if it works. You're just not digging. You hear me? And you can't talk about all the things you talk about if you don't perform. Now listen, do you want to live with that the rest of your life?
No.
Michael, it's going to happen. You got 12 minutes. You're behind. You understand? It's got to start here.
Yes, yes, yes. The kids are back. The boys are back in town, as the late, great Philip Lynott once said.
Boys are back in town. I've been listening to a lot of that. I've been playing their Amazon channel.
Best pure rock band of all time, Thin Lizzy. You are listening to Knock 'Em Out the Box, episode 46. Mr. Long, episode 46.
46.
My name... it's Vinny Paz. I'm with my co-host with the co-most, Mr. Majestic, the left-right-left kid.
Brendan. That's right. Long, I used to say friend. This in the beginning. I used to say that I was the Keith Murray of boxing podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you have watched any interviews with Keith Murray lately,
You do not want to be that anymore.
I don't want to be the Keith Murray of boxing podcasts. He's apparently had sex with everybody, by the way.
According to him,
he's
this whatever this guy. I don't know who it is because you don't see him, but this guy is doing like the Vlad format.
Whoever
Vlad doesn't get is going to this guy. And there's been some crazy shit so far.
Some deuces.
I mean, he's getting good people, you know, whether they're legends, whether they're crazy, whether they're both. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know if people have access to...
I love Keith Murray, you know what I mean? But his that interview is crazy.
It's wild. It's old now. It's like 6 months, 8 months, a year old, maybe. I don't even know. But yeah, that's I used to say that in the beginning when we were on the solo Patreon.
Right.
I think like the first 8 episodes are Billy. What the
maybe
lost,
more. I want to say like 13.
The lost tapes.
I want to say the lost tapes was...
Yeah, probably more than that.
All right, well, one day we'll release to the non-Patreon paying public, but...
Well, we have our own YouTube now, cheap plug. We can put them up there, you know what I mean? Because it's strictly dedicated to our show, which is... What is our YouTube, Billy? I mean, we're Knock 'Em Out the Box, but how do they find us on YouTube, Billy?
That is KEOTB podcast.
So dumb.
Instead of just Knock 'Em Out the Box podcast.
Right.
Well, I gave it like a short at. You have to give it like an at.
Oh, do you? That's weird. All right. Sorry, Bill.
I take that back.
I accept your apologies.
All right. Yeah, but Knock 'Em Out the Box. You'll find us. Put Brendan Long of any pass. Knock 'Em Out the Box. Subscribe. All of that stuff you got to do. That helps us.
Yeah. Subscribe to it.
Same with how you listen to us, like, subscribe, give it a review, all that stuff somehow helps in the algorithm. We definitely don't do the cheap plugs over here, but that stuff helps.
It does.
The podcast, the algorithm, and it'll come up for other people if you write that kind of stuff. Also, I think we might still have a few shirts left, B.
I think we do.
JMTstore.com.
JMTstore.com, and then
if you want Knock 'Em Out the Box, we kind of did a play on the cover of Midnight Marauders with our faces on there.
It's a good quality shirt too.
It is. It is.
I actually I wear it. So
our guy Shane, who does all the JMT stuff, hooked that up for us. It's good.
Yeah. Shout out to Shane, by the way.
Shane's the best. Shane hit me and said he's excited to hear this episode. So he's definitely excited for the the Lomachenko, Devin Haney, which we're going to get into.
He turns around all the art super fast. So
yeah, he's a great dude, man.
And a cool kid.
Yeah, super Brendan cool. Had half the shirt shipped to him and all his relatives' house.
He did.
Yo, that's exactly how we do it. What do you want me to do?
I need one. My wife needs one.
I got an entourage over here.
The Long family, however many we printed, they got half.
It's yeah. Between the Capoletti's, the Tessitore's, and the Longs, it's all right. There's a lot of us. And then
you want to get into some news?
I do.
Canelo Alvarez has insisted he wants to rematch Dimitri Bivol for his WBA light heavyweight world title next. Mm-hmm. Everybody, this is Canelo. Everybody knows we want the rematch with Bivol, which we all did know. But then he goes on to say, same rules, same terms, same everything. I want it that way. I think that's a Bivol wants to go to 68 and take all the belts from Canelo. He's not a huge light heavy, so he believes he can do that. It seems to be a standstill, which is an odd standstill. The standstills you and I always talk about, B, are like idiots who can't get it together, like Bud and Spence.
Yeah.
These two are like, oh, no, we're fighting. We're just going to argue about where it's at.
Which does And both of them, normally, under any other circumstances, these would be concessions, and these guys are insisting that, like, for instance, Bivol going to 68 doesn't make sense. That would typically be a concession.
And Canelo going back up to 75 after his poorest performance would be a concession to anyone logical.
This is all right.
What do you think happens before we move on? Curious.
I think Canelo.
We've spoken off air.
I think Canelo. Canelo doesn't want to lose the belts at 68. That's what it sounds like. So ultimately, I think they'll fight at 75. What do you think? That's where Canelo wants it. That's where he's going to get it.
I mean, if Bivol wants a second payday with the face of boxing, yes, I said the face of boxing after this talk of tank being the face of boxing. Get the fuck out of here. I think that's what happens. And he gets another monster payday.
Sure.
And he certainly doesn't think he's going to lose. You know, he's rewatching that. He's rewatching it and saying, I'm going to do this again, and it's going to be more convincing.
Right.
That's what he's saying and his team is saying. You know, and Bivol's daring to be great by being like, well, I want to drop down and become the guy at 68 too, and guarantee myself a spot in Hall of Fame,
right?
You know, by doing that, which he does. If that was to happen,
well, I don't know, dude.
Do you believe it's going to happen next? That's the other thing.
Yes.
So you think September?
Yeah, I think they'll work it out. It'll be at 75.
I mean, there's names floating around that he's got to fight Benavidez. You know, Charlo is ignoring the fact that he's got to fight Tim Zhu, and then the day after the Ryder fight calls out Canelo, ignoring the fact that, you know, so he's the one that we get, you know, that
props to.
It's an odd move. Is he the one that we give the props to that called Canelo?
That was the one, the 54 one called Canelo, the one who's supposed to fight Tim Zhu.
So he wants to go up two weight classes to fight Canelo.
It's illogical.
It's illogical.
I thought
it was the one we didn't like. The fought. No, at 60 someone, that had the
someone's, trickle. Someone's. No, the one with the stiff neck at 54. You know, the one that looks like this.
Yeah, it's just tough for me because they're literally twins, and they have the same name.
I don't like adult twins. Did I ever say that on here? I don't like adult twins when they hang out.
What if they took it one step further and dressed alike?
Oh my God, dude. Did I ever tell you guys I used to work with these two women at NBC, Stella and Ella? And
stop.
I shit you not.
Stella and Ella is as good as Jermell and Jamal.
and they dressed the same too.
What age were they at this point?
In their late 40s, 50s. And I worked with them for 10 years. They worked in a dub room.
I have to keep this politically correct. Was there something off about them? A little bit?
Well, everybody, there's something off about everybody that worked at NBC.
Oh, yeah, so, I hear that. Yeah, it's, now you're getting TV, into...
But it, for those, if any of my former coworkers, if any of my former coworkers are listening, write into KOTBboxing@gmail.com and put in the subject line Stella and Ella, and let us That's know grim. if there was actually something wrong with them. But I can't. I'll tell you some more off air funny shit. But I can't say it on air because it's inside baseball.
And yeah, of course.
But anyway, adult twins that hang out bother me.
It
gets on my nerves.
I don't have a problem with that.
You know,
I don't have a problem with that.
Carve out your own journey.
I've never thought about it, but you're putting it in my mind, and now I'm agreeing.
Two things. It freaks me the fuck out because I don't like it. Because I'm like,
yeah, I agree with that.
These people can communicate like without talking, like
they're telepathic.
They're telepathic. I don't like that shit. I don't like it one bit, and I don't like it when it's like in front of me, you know. And then the other thing too is like, it's just fucking weird. Like, why are you still friends?
Uh-huh. Like, did you hear that? I just did.
I did.
That's what apparently people that enjoy a nice cup of coffee do. I just had a nice sip. So I
look at you. The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. Cheap right, plug. Folgers is our sponsor.
I don't know how long we're going to give this any of our attention because it's starting to make me batty. Errol Spence on Terrence Crawford. I'm a man of my word. I'm not trying to fight anybody else but him. Me and Crawford were talking directly. We were on the phone for 30 minutes. It went well, and our teams are still negotiating. It's going very well. I don't know.
Are those two like twirling their hair like, you hang up? No, you hang up.
Yes.
You hang up. Like, get the fuck out of here. I don't care, dude. Just tell me when the shit's done.
Yes. Yes. Look, there was a June date floating away. The more they bullshit. Right now, we're looking at July. If it was July, announced like now, you know what I'm saying?
July 22nd was
right.
Something.
So another week or two goes by, we're getting into August, guys. And then B and I have said this how many times? There's going to come a point, I don't know when it's going to be, where it's going to Pacquiao Mayweather us, and we're just going to just stop as far as the show. And if they make it, I guess we'll talk about it.
Of course we'll talk about it.
When they're both 40, you know, pushing 40.
I don't know. I seen Spence at the tank fight pictures. He looked like he weighs 200 pounds.
I saw him maybe a year, a little while after his last fight.
Right.
And he looked like 200 pounds.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the video I saw. He's talking in the camera about the Bud fight recently. I mean, literally within a week.
Right.
And everything I just read, he's kind of saying, and he's like sitting on a weight bench. And in that video, he looks in shape. Okay. So I think this picture you and I are talking about is either old photoshopped or.
No, it was at the tank fight.
Does he have jewels around his neck?
Yeah.
I think it was the tank fight before this.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I that's what I think. Cause I saw the same pic and yeah. Anyway, Liam Smith, Chris Eubank, something happened there. One of them had a minor injury in camp. I don't know if it was Eubank or Liam Smith. It was a June date. Now it's July 1st at Manchester Arena. I mean, we just keep talking about how these dudes over there. I mean, when UK guys become stars over here, we obviously talk about that and say, yo, they've crossed over. Well, the fact that Chris Eubank and Liam Smith can do that venue over there says just a lot about UK fight fans.
Yeah,
and
they'll just go watch these guys fight.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. I'm not mad at it at all because they have a ball, but that's not a fight, I would think. I mean, you throw that here at the small room at the Garden and it might not sell out. And I'm not exaggerating.
All right. So just a question for our UK fight, our UK KOTB fans.
Which we have a lot of, by the way.
Can you guys write us at KOTBboxing@gmail.com? And just give us a little insight as to, you know, And look, I commend it. You guys really support your guys. You guys support your countrymen. You guys support your fighters. You guys support what I would consider now a mediocre fight.
Absolutely.
Write in and give us your thoughts about as to why that is. Because it's not like you guys don't have a ton of other sports to follow, right? Like, I could see, like, if boxing was your only sport, but you guys...
Right.
You guys got football. You guys got... And you guys watch American sports. You guys have... Do you guys watch cricket? Are you guys big cricket fans in the UK? I assume you are. I know they are down under.
We have a bunch of people that listen from down under, too.
Right. So Formula One, you guys have a ton of fucking sports.
What is it about us two morons that we have so many listeners from Australia and UK? Is it somehow a twisted sense of, do they have a sort of extended version of the East Coast sense of humor? Because our humor does not fly on the West Coast of America.
It's probably my, my accents. I make them feel at home, you know? So like when they tune in and I throw one
up. What is your Australian accent?
I'm not going to tell you right now. It's got to be more organic. I'm not
organic. All right. Yeah. It might come up if I mention Tim Zoo, is what you're telling me?
Yeah. I'm not your jester.
Billy shaking his head back and forth.
Yeah. What are you shaking your head for?
I want to hear it. You're the master of accents. You can't do an Australian
Billy,
accent.
I've set it up where it's going to happen. It better.
I can do whatever I want. All right. I don't work for either one of you motherfuckers. Okay.
He's spicy tonight, Irish Billy. He's cranky. He's talking spicy tonight. Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll talk about that fight when it happens. But I mean, when July 1st, our review show be, I mean, if that place is packed out, I'm going to be like, these guys just support, like,
right.
Or is it like, I mean, you also have, is there some soccer/football hooligan aspect to it, where they're like, we just go there to set it, drink. You know what I mean? Because there's teams like whether it's like, say, Arsenal, who like Lydon from the Sex Pistols, him and Rambo are like supporters of, like, they used to just go and stab people. Not Leiden, but like Rambo.
Yeah.
Like, just, yo, we're just trying to go mix, you know? So is that culture still, does that bleed over is what I'm asking when you guys write in and tell us. Does the soccer hooligan culture bleed into other sports with y'all where it's like, yo, night out with the guys, we're going to set it off.
And kill people.
Yeah. I love that they call a rumble a row too. He had a row.
Oh yeah. I don't know this.
Me, you, outside, the row.
Look at you. Look at you. Look at you horning it up.
I'm a huge mark for British culture, like skinhead culture, British soul, and, you know, the carryover from all the Jamaican immigration that went there, and the specials, and the punk bands, and, you know, the anti-racist reggae skins and all of that stuff. I'm a huge mark for it. And the goons like the Cray Brothers and stuff like that. So, but the row, that's hard. The row.
Mm.
That's like, give me a mix.
Yeah, yeah.
Do we care about this one? Speaking of UK and UK fighters, Billy Joe Saunders has declared he will return to the ring this year. Today, whenever I wrote this down a couple days ago, is 2 years since his last fight, which was the beating he took.
Sounds like he's running out of money.
Yeah, I mean, do you think there's money at 168 outside of Canelo fights?
For Billy Joe Saunders?
Yeah.
I think, look, if we're talking Chris Eubank and Liam Smith are, you know, a big draw over there. Yeah, Billy Joe Saunders could get in that mix quickly.
Okay.
He's got history with Eubank Jr.
Yeah, he's got one loss to the guy that's the face of boxing. So, you know, while I don't think he's going to do anything, and, you know, he certainly doesn't have any kind of punching power to reignite interest in a casual fan. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, you know, what does that mean? And if he comes back against a soft touch, which he's going to, it's, you know, how much time is ticking. This is an odd one to me, B, similar to Canelo with Bivol, with our opinion about Canelo and Bivol. It's going to be similar here. Joe Joyce has activated his rematch clause to fight Big Bang Zhang again next. His manager, Adam Morley, has confirmed. This means Joyce would now have to agree to step aside if Fury versus Big Bang Zhang is to happen.
Next. Exactly. So this is a smart business move. So one of two things happens. A, he steps aside, gets paid to do dog shit.
Yeah, what do you think he gets, a mil?
Or I wouldn't even know. It doesn't matter. It's better than fucking nothing. You know what I mean? Or B, gets the fight and gets paid and gets a chance to avenge a loss. So brilliant. It's a brilliant, brilliant business move. And there you have it, folks. That's how you do it.
Yep. Agreed on all. I just want to wrap up that the Joe Joyce news with something that you have said and made clear. And I want to make it clear because we have friends who were and are pro fighters, and no one respects guys who get in the ring more than us. And episodes back, maybe a year, maybe longer, you explained that if we ever say Bubba Bus stinks, that it's all relative.
It's relative.
Meaning, right? We know, guys, you don't got to write on Twitter, he beat you up. Yeah, man.
No, and shit.
When I say Carmelo stinks, yeah, he would light me up on a one-on-one, too.
Right.
Joe Joyce stinks.
He stinks.
He stinks, this Joe Joyce.
There's another guy who stinks, too, that we're going to talk about in a little while.
We are. It's coming up. It's coming up. Australian accent. Tim Zoo will defend. Oh, that was so bad.
He'll fight straight away. He'll fight straight away.
Wow. Irish Billy, thumbs up, thumbs down. Two thumbs down. He got Timmy Zoo will defend his WB interim super welterweight belt versus Carlos Acampo on June 8th in Australia. Two thoughts from me. Carlos Acampo, no joke. I like that part. And I like that he's like, this Charlo is a bozo. And I'm staying busy.
Right.
I got to stay busy. Right. I'm not going to be one of these dudes, you know, who's fighting once every 18 months, 2 years. Right. I got to stay sharp. I got to stay busy. I got to stay in the gym. I got to stay sparring, because when you do all that, hey, guys, guess what? You get better. You continue to learn.
Right.
The only thing that can come of that isn't any good, if you become one of those people who spars too much. And I know that he doesn't.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I'll bet Dallas the Donuts he would have fought Fundora otherwise. You know what I mean? If Ocampo didn't beat him.
He didn't get sparked out.
Right. So.
I think Ocampo can fight a little bit. He just knocked out a guy that was being heralded, regardless of what you and I thought. I know when Erickson Lubin had him on Queer Street, you know, there's historically speaking, B, these knockdowns that you see and guys pop up and you go, nah, man, flash knockdown. The guy's still got a sturdy chin. I'm not worried. And then there's guys you go, I see something there. And I certainly saw something there. It's the same way with Devin Haney. If you were to say, we'll get into that. A couple more real quick. The Stanionis Virgil Ortiz fight that you and I were hotsy totsy for. It's been rescheduled for July 8th. So that's locked in. That should be a barn burner.
If Virgil Ortiz makes it, what is that shit called that he has that he's now saying is long COVID?
You were talking about it, and you were saying, we were saying that it's our opinion that kid can never make 147 properly again. So, and a few episodes after we said that, after whatever that, I don't know how to say it. You know what I'm saying?
I don't
whatever
either.
It's called. I don't know how to pronounce it. That's why I'm not saying it. I mean, we, bro, when we were talking about, because we champion Boots and Cool Boy Steph on this show, like no other show and like no other fighters. We don't champion anyone like those two, you know? And I don't know if you remember this, but Ortiz was kind of the third in the three-pronged crown at one point for us.
Absolutely. I wanted him to fight Boots.
He was being heralded by us. Am I wrong to say that he has won every fight by KO? Isn't he like 27-0 with 27 KOs? Or am I bugging?
Let me look.
I might be bugging. Why don't you look up the disease? I'll look up his.
I did, and I can't say it.
Just try to say
it. He is. He's 19-0 with 19 stoppages.
Oh, KO. I thought he had maybe 25, 26 fights. Okay, 19-0. That's pretty crazy, bro. Considering, I don't think they put him in mega soft.
No,
I'm not saying world beaters.
Fought Mean Machine.
Yeah.
It's called, I can't fucking. It's got RH, too many consonants next to each other. I don't know how to fucking say this shit. I barely graduated high school.
How did you look it up?
I fucking Googled
Virgil Ortiz what? Jr. Disease?
No, and then, no, not disease. I'm going to have Google say it. An ESPN article came up, and it's in the first paragraph. RHABDOMYOLYSIS.
I can't hear something being spelled. And diagnosed in March 22 with a severe condition that can cause permanent organ damage. Rhabdomyolysis. Put it up to your mic.
Rhabdomyolysis.
We're idiots.
Rhabdomyolysis.
What we really should be playing is your AO. Anyway.
Rhabdomyolysis.
Do you have any reason to think that fight won't go off as planned? Or do you think there's the potential for something goofy to happen?
Well, I'm saying he could be stricken with.
With.
Rhabdomyolysis.
What could he be again. Stricken with, me?
Rhabdomyolysis.
Look, you know. I know.
I don't know. If you have a flare up of.
You're slow on that. Those hoops are slow. When we fist fight, those hands better be faster. You're slow on the draw. I love that fight. I don't know what this did to that kid. If he's at 100%, he's still young and he's still an animal. And he's still a real, real threat. And if he's the kid that we thought he was, it's Boots and Ortiz are the future of that division. And you know, but there's a huge question mark there when it's something
sure. Yeah, I think he'll make the weight. They'll have the fight, and it's a good fight.
Yeah, me too. Handsome Eddie has stated that they're hoping to receive a formal offer from the Saudis this week for Joshua to fight Wilder, and they're still trying to do that card that we spoke about a couple episodes ago.
I also heard
where
Wilder
all four Usyk. Guys are fighting. Yeah,
I heard that this week too.
There's all these everyone's chirping. But they're still trying to make that fight night we talked about, where it's Wilder, Fury, Usyk, and AJ. Fury had some funny quotes regarding Wilder fighting AJ. It was pretty funny if you guys want to look them up. I didn't print them out or write them down because you and I have been eye rolling Fury as of late.
Yeah, I've had enough
antics. Man. He'll win me over, and then his antics will annoy me. Then he'll win me over, and then his antics will annoy me.
He just annoys me at this point.
I get it. All right. Just to piggyback off what I said about Tim Zhu, WBO have now stated that they will order Jermell Charlo to defend WBA, WBC, IBF, and WBO super welterweight world titles versus Tim Zhu by September 30th at the latest. Providing Zhu beats Ocampo on the 18th. So we're getting a unified guy by the fall, whether this dope, you know, fights or not. He either vacates and Tim Tszyu fights blank, whoever you think. I don't know if you think there's a guy at 54 that did. Is that the guy who you want him to fight? Yeah, that guy's from Eastern Europe.
Yeah,
Europe, that guy.
That's what that sounds like.
So you want to talk a little bit, let's talk a little bit about Canelo, Ryder, and I think of the Mark Twain quote, the, what is it? The rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I was going to say, where is this guy going? Very intellectual,
Are the rumors of Canelo's slippage?
No,
greatly exaggerated. You,
because no, I'm spreading them.
Well, you started spreading them. I didn't disagree, but had some built-in excuses for him. One of them being, well, he went to 75 against the 1A guy there with better BF, with a, you know,
the number one,
and Bivol is 1A, in my opinion. Some people think Bivol is better than better BF. Not on my fucking watch. Anyway, you saw something that said to you, yes, all of that is true, but, and laid it out. And no one is a bigger proponent of the idea of, yo, you start slipping when you see this in front of you,
right?
And you don't let go.
Well, that's when it's a shot. That's when I think someone's shot. You know,
But don't you think? I don't think that being shot happens overnight. I don't believe that Canelo's 32, right, B?
I don't think it'll happen with Canelo. It does happen to guys, though. They're just not the same. Yeah.
Canelo was 32, right?
Correct.
A 28-year-old Canelo gets Ryder out of there. No doubt.
I agree. And I've, you know, there is talk that, oh, Ryder's never, he's only been stopped once on cuts. My response to that is he never fought Canelo. You know what I mean?
Also, I just pick was not that he sparks him out with with a James Kirkland-esque knockout, Amir Khan-esque knockout.
Right, no, it was...
Bust him up. And
he did. He broke his nose. He broke his nose. He knocked him down. I think that, you know, Canelo's always had a questionable gas tank, right?
Absolutely.
This version of his career, he conserves energy much better.
But the lighter weights, you could see the lactic acid in his back, which to me contributed to the fading.
Right.
I see it a little bit less now. I used to just flat out say Canelo fades. I don't bring that up as often as I used to.
Well, no, he's not sucking weight as much.
5, 6, 7 years ago?
Yeah. But again, I don't know if the extra gear didn't seem to be there in this fight, or if he wants it. You know, like, I don't know how much he wants to push it, right? Because if you push it, you risk a little bit here and there, maybe a clash, an elbow, getting countered.
I just want to say that our predictions, in my opinion, could have come to fruition had he pushed it, like you're saying.
Agreed. And, that was the point.
As it was happening, B, I'm going, oh, our shit's going to come.
Right. Well, that was the point I was making. What I was getting at.
My apologies.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
can you wake up a little bit? Your eyes look droopy. It's only 10:20. What's your problem? Jeez. Can you develop a coke habit so we can get this? I'd like to start recording at 1-2 a.m. What do you really think about that?
Let me tell you something. All right. This is an abusive fucking podcast. All right.
It's not true.
I got two fucking bags of trash from fucking Philly.
Very disrespectful.
That fucking disrespectful. Gang up on me pre-show. Post show, don't appreciate my fucking accents. I could talk like that. Maybe I'd fucking.
I was abused by you at my show in Brooklyn. Only your lovely wife was nice to me.
I abused you in my hometown? I don't think so. I laid out the red carpet. I made sure you were taken care of. I found a restaurant for you to eat in.
I don't believe any of that to be true.
It's all true. All right.
How about those burgers from that spot you found? Those are nice burgers.
So fucking good.
Those threw a nice burger. Yeah,
they really did. Yeah. I was a little nervous when I walked in. I said, and then I was like, oh, it's a pretty good fucking, mean fucking piece of meat. Hey, guys,
for those who don't know, B worked in television, so he knows television, music industry. You're kind of like, yo, whatever's near here, that's what we're eating.
That's what we're eating.
We don't have time to, right. Like, you know, if it's, you know, me and B going out to the fights, whether it's Philly or New York, we can plan to meet. Oh, no.
Right.
We don't got to go there till 9. Let's go at 6 o'clock, sit down, relax. It doesn't happen in television. It doesn't happen when you're on tour.
No.
So B found this spot. He went with Wipey, and he was kind enough to send me this text and was like, yo, this spot's right near where you're at. It looks banging. And we ended up going there, and it was incredible. So,
In fairness, she found it. She's good at that.
Happy belated, V.
Oh, thank you.
Love
I'll
you.
Tell him.
What are you seeing with him? What do you look?
I think it's a bad idea, man.
This be bold next. Yeah, is a bad idea.
I think
he's ready to go. They're talking about he wants to try to make the PGA tour.
Yeah.
If all of that's
not going to happen, that's so stupid.
If all of that, guy's got a nice swing. If all of that is where his head is at, you and I can't possibly fathom the amount of money he's already made.
Right.
I saw some numbers.
He was the highest paid athlete. I don't know if he still is.
Did you see the numbers just in Mexico of the fight?
No.
13 million people watched that fight in Mexico.
In Mexico alone.
Now, you, someone who worked in TV, knows what type of monster rating that is, especially in 2023. You do 13 million people, you have a hit show on NBC, ABC.
Right.
Forget, those are
90s numbers.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Those are Seinfeld, Friends in the 90s numbers.
Theoretically, he could fight a round robin of who's in Mexico, and people would probably watch it for the next 2 or 3 years.
Well, that's where I want to go with you. So let's say Bivol is next. Mm-hmm. That doesn't go well. That's an L to me, bro. 68-75. That's an L to me. Mm-hmm. How it turns out might be the question of the future.
Yeah,
a drubbing. I'm saying he's done, bro. For real.
You think he just quits?
The sport or in the ring?
Oh, no. The sport afterwards.
If it's a drubbing, he might do the bum of the month club. I could do 60,000 people at the gate and 13 million people on TV against. Okay. Bro, what about someone who is undefeated? Oscar's trying to say the biggest fight, because he's Oscar, is him and Jaime Munguia.
Yeah, no.
Canelo would batter him.
Yeah. I don't think that fight's close. So unless Canelo's spending his money, which I doubt,
he's got a
prime coked up fucking gonorrhea having Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
I think Canelo's fine. That deal, the original deal with DAZN was $350 million. So Canelo's fine.
And we're not talking about the fact that in the U.S. he's doing beer commercials,
right?
Tecate, Corona. That's not even his deals in Mexico, bro.
Yeah,
and if someone's doing 13 million, you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know what
he's going to be selling you car insurance for the next 50 years. I mean, he doesn't really need to do this.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Anyway, I agree with you. If he gets the shit kicked out of him by Bivol, if they fight next, by the way, at 75, I think they just finalized Callum Smith and Better BF. That's going to happen in Quebec City.
That's a brutal beating. Okay.
Yeah. But shouts to Callum Smith. Dude's got balls.
Balls. We'll fight anybody.
We'll fight anybody. Anyway, so if Canelo, if
so Bivol now we're
beats the God, God, buddy.
No, go ahead, man. Sorry. It's the coffee.
It's the coffee.
I'm charged up.
So go ahead. Yeah, and I'm kind of fading. So go pick me up.
I was gonna say, man, the Bivol Canelo in the fall and this fight between Callum Smith and Beterbiev means best case scenario, we're getting unified at 75, Bivol Beterbiev in 2024. Mm-hmm. Which for Beterbiev, you know, you're talking a guy in his late 30s. You never know, man. Obviously, every athlete is different. You got LeBron running around like a maniac at 38. Right. Putting up a triple double in the first playoff game, and you got guys who are very old, 38, in the boxing game.
Right, guys.
He's not, but
rhabdomyolysis.
I mean, yes, there's guys that have that.
Yes,
25.
Yes. As I've said before, Iceman Scully has told me in all of his years in this sport, he's never seen anything like Beterbiev as far as a physical specimen, as far as his training techniques, desire, clean living, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He's said he's seen him do things that he didn't think human beings were capable of doing. This isn't, me sort of putting words in his mouth, you know? These are things he's told, flat out told me. And he's in his camp. But I don't, you know, I don't know, man. I don't really care. Like, I don't care about a rematch. If we're talking, we want these guys to unify. I don't care about Bivol Canelo and Callum Smith Beterbiev, and I don't know why. You know, I'm not going to finish that sentence, and I don't know why. I do know why. Money. You know, I mean, Bivol would be dumb not to take that rematch. He beat him once. He's a cash cow.
And now it doesn't sound like he has, you know, a better option.
Right.
So, right. Yeah. All right. Well, I think, I don't know. Did you see what John Ryder looked like after that fight?
I did.
It looked like a hit with a fucking bat.
I mean, he got beaten up, man.
Right. So did you listen to the commentary?
Yes.
You would have thought it was like a fucking 116, 112.
Absolutely.
Barn burner.
Absolutely. I think, look, man, we know that guys are graded on a curve. Certain guys, I mean, you know. And I think Canelo beat him up over 12. And they're still, if you're him, if you're Canelo, you're like, I just beat the guy up over 12. Right. Who, like, people in the know thought was, you know, a real guy.
Right.
I don't and never thought highly of Ryder as far as skills. Tough as nails.
Right.
Tough guy. Sturdy chin, proved it again.
Yeah.
You know, Canelo can crack at 68 a little bit.
Sure.
I mean, but he, you know, there was definitely salesmanship involved in the commentary that this was, you know,
what the fuck am I listening to sometimes?
I don't know. I don't know, B.
Jesus Christ.
And I mean,
and you know, usually
did you score it?
No. Did you?
I didn't give Ryder a round, but I didn't write down my score.
Right.
But I was consciously going, if you give Ryder a round or two or three, you know, but I usually write down.
Yeah, it was
when
there are
important fights that I think can be close. I don't pull out the pen and a pad when I know that someone's going to either get KO'd or, you know, or 12-0'd. Yeah. I just, it's not my nature to do that. You know what I mean?
Because if I didn't have him sweeping every round, it was close.
Yeah.
And again, I don't think highly of Ryder, and I didn't either, but even there was a couple rounds I was like, all right, maybe I'll give this one to him just to give him one. But
yeah, I mean, there's pity rounds, bro, in the sport.
This wasn't close, contrary to the fucking commentary. I'm really getting tired of that shit.
The post fight interviews were pretty funny. It's always funny to see, like you said, what did you say, a car accident? Or he got hit with a bat?
Which he looks like he hit with a bat.
I always love when those guys are like, yeah, man, it's like he's not really as good as you would think, you know. Yeah, he's definitely slipped a little bit, you know, as far as, you know, he's like basically saying Canelo slipped he looks like Sloth from the Goonies. Now, I'm not saying Canelo hasn't slipped, but the irony of that guy saying it.
Like, right.
Well, then what would a prime guy, what would the guy 28 years old have done to you? Because you just got beat from pillar to post.
And what does that say about you?
Right. That a guy who has slipped.
Right.
Who is not no longer at the level where he was the pound for pound guy.
I never had my nose broken. And it's like, you got your face fucking bashed.
You got the two gimmicks of tissue of both nostrils.
Right.
You got a cut over your eye.
Yeah, bandage on your head.
You got it wrapped around your head like a
civil
mummy.
Like playing the fucking flute, and your manager's playing the drums.
You walked
snare.
In with a wooden cane
with a little crutch.
Yeah, bro. I mean, he's not really what you would think, bro. You know, it's like I definitely feel it's a little bit. You know, he slipped. It's not. You know,
he's doing a drum roll. Yeah, he's doing a little drum roll on that little snare drum that those guys had.
Right. Like, yo, my guy. I don't know if this is smart marketing on your
right.
part.
How about, I don't know. Yeah, get the fuck out of here. All right.
So I want to start this off because there's a lot to talk about, which is odd when Raleigh Romero fights, that there's a lot to talk about. I am going to ask this. I said it during the Tank promotion when he fought Tank. Do you believe that someone... He's already laughing. With mental deficiencies, could slip through cracks of athletic commissions. If you have an IQ of maybe 75, but pass physical tests, the word we're not allowed to say anymore that I say all the time.
The R word?
Yes. What is the politically correct word? You're good with all this, especially with two young ones.
No, I'm not.
No, you're good with knowing. I don't mean with not saying it. You're terrible. You're as terrible as me, but you're hip to it because your wife is nice. And
mentally challenged. Mentally challenged.
Is there any disputing that, or am I saying things that are going to get our show taken on platforms?
Don't worry. I mean, luckily we don't sell any advertisement because we're demonetized a long time.
there isn't any disputing that Raleigh Romero has whatever you just said, right? You know what word I want to use.
Yeah, I know the word you want to use. I think you can use it in describing certain other things, but...
Yes. You can retard the process of something.
Right.
Which means, you know.
Raleigh Romero, if he's not, he should be diagnosed as such. I don't know. I don't know what his deal is. I'll tell you what. He was going to lose that fight.
He was losing on my card. Ishmael Barroso, 40-year-old guy, came in prepared. Came Sport, in and
40 air quotes 40.
Yes, you guys have heard B and I talk about the Cubans.
Yo, my dead grandfather looks better than that fucking guy.
If this guy is 40, I'm classically handsome.
Billy,
drop some
Google him, Billy. I want you to
Billy Google Ishmael Barroso, Barroso, and he's saying he's 40 years old.
I wish we didn't
Billy,
tell
are you 40 yet? What are you, like 36, Billy?
Billy, a little bit more than that.
What are you, a woman? 38? You don't want to fucking tell us.
What kind of broad are you?
Yeah. Ooh, a lady never tells us.
Boy never tells. There's a lot of people listening to this.
That's true. But I still think you're a girlish figure.
I was going to say,
to protect.
Do you also not disclose your weight?
I think he's like 37, 38.
Who, this Billy?
Yeah. And we can crunch numbers because I think I know the year he graduated college. And if you're 22 then, I think he graduated in 07.
Wait. So how old is this Ishmael guy?
He says he's 40. No,
I wanted Billy to tell us how old.
No, he's already got a number in his head.
Billy, how old do you think he is? If you're just to look at that guy walking down the street.
Yeah,
I think he's like pushing 60.
If you gave that guy... Like if you parked him on the corner, I would probably put and gave him a cup. I would put change in that guy's cup. That's how old
I would put a 20 in there.
That's what I'm saying. I'd be like, here you go, man. To better days.
He looks like a bum in every picture.
He looks like a bum in every picture, right? So anyway, this guy who's 40 in dog.
Well, Billy, the sad part is that he got hosed.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about it, B.
High top. 1987 Tony Weeks.
Yes.
Top rocked and fucking robbed. I don't know why robbed Rolly Romero. Like did Weeks choke or is he on the take? Like
are we getting into the deep dive of conspiracy? If we're getting in
that's what I'm saying.
Then I'll tell you. It was for a trinket and they'll have him fight Tank at 40.
I don't think he's going to fight Tank. I think he's going to fight Brian. I heard he's going to fight Garcia next because they got that heat.
They're calling for it. But if you see a pattern in LRB, Floyd, PBC, and Tank, if you see a pattern, if you don't, then you don't. If you see a pattern, and I do, Tank ends up with that strap.
If
you're right, him and Garcia fight, then Tank fights that winner. Because either way, it's a rematch for Tank of two guys he fought. If it's Ryan Garcia next at 140 for that trinket that Rolly Romero just won in a sham of a fight, but here's how bad the stoppage was. That the sham of the fight isn't even being talked about. That Rolly Romero gets concussed by Tank, goes up in weight to 140,
right,
and is fighting for a title.
Right.
If that's not a sham enough for you guys out there.
And by the way, he stinks.
He stinks.
Stinks. He was getting his shit kicked out of him.
Yes. And got dropped.
I counted. He threw like three punches in one round.
He was down on the scorecards. You guys, if you didn't watch it live, watch the stoppage. And if you see something that B and I didn't see other than corruption, please let us know.
Who's the corrupter here? That's what I'm saying. And how does Tony Weeks fit in? And
a friend of yours broke it down. He said it publicly, so I don't think it's out of school to say it. Tommy Raynone basically was like, yo, refs work 9 to 5s, guys.
They do. They don't get paid a lot for this shit.
It's not hard to lure someone who has a 9 to 5 into... Look, and look, guys, I'm going to be very careful with my words here because there is flat out the mob would fix fights, 50s, 60s, etc. And maybe this Sonny Liston died under circumstances that were mob related, could be. Listen, then there's other things that are a bit more subtle. And by that, I mean, maybe he was told, B.
I'm listening.
hey, if you see an opportunity where this thing could be stopped,
hop in there.
Hop in there, which is less. It's not quite.
Maybe he thought it was the Special Olympics.
That's a really good line. Do you think he was trying to get Raleigh a Special Olympics? Was the belt for the Special Olympics?
Belt was for the Special Olympics, and he's like, they're like,
what trinket is that at 140? What sanctioning body? Do you know? Do you even know? I'm being serious because I don't.
I don't know.
Whatever it was, it's maybe it's like the WB blank Special Olympics belt.
Maybe he, you know, like when they let the kids score the point.
Yeah, of course.
That's what Tony.
That's what they did.
That's what Tony Weeks thought this was.
That's what he thought it was.
Yay!
Look, if you can get in there at any point, if there's something that looks visually like it's a barrage of punches landing or not, get in there and stop this, because we want to make XYZ next. That, like you ask a great question. If there's corruption, from who is the who's pulling the strings?
Right.
Who's the puppet master? What is the end game? And that's a great question. But I can't look at that stoppage and say to you, this is something.
It was a WBA world super light welterweight
Special Olympics.
Special Olympics.
There's no way that. You can look at that other than, then you just add insult to injury. The Nevada State Athletic Commission refuses to talk after.
Right.
He refuses to talk. Guys, this is stuff that doesn't happen in other sports. There's no accountability. A point I made, I think I was talking to the guys at Fight Hub, was, look, the reason in this case, there's no accountability. You're talking about a Special Olympics belt, a fight that only mental patients like us would watch, and a guy that no one cares about in Raleigh Romero. This egregious fight and egregious stoppage, most people don't know that this happened. Forget that this poor stoppage happened. Most people don't know that this fight happened. And this is why you don't call. You've never talked about it. And I don't know that you've ever given me your opinion on it. This is why I call for a national commission. This is why I say, guy, if you talk to someone who doesn't watch any sports, they tell you straight up and down, I don't watch sports. I'm not interested. And you ask them, when you think of basketball, professional, what do you think of? They say the word NBA. You think, if you think of professional football, what do they say? They say the NFL. What do you think about baseball? What do they say? MLB. What do you think of when I say to you boxing? Mike Tyson?
Right.
Don King?
Right.
They're the two answers you might get. This goes back to when Max was still on Friday Night Fights before he left. They went out in the streets. This was maybe 98, 99, 2000.
Right.
Well after Mike's
Yeah, I remember this. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were asking people in, I guess it was Times Square, you know, but
yeah.
Maybe it could have been Midtown. I don't remember.
Right.
Who was the heavyweight champion of the world? If they asked 20 people, 18 said Mike Tyson and two said like something even more egregious, like Muhammad Ali. Crazy.
Yeah, the point was no one watches the sport. It's a niche sport.
And guys, this is going on 25 years ago. It's only gotten less. So guys, when I'm talking about a national commission, what I'm saying is this is the Wild West, guys. These refs, these judges, these athletic commissions. If me and B are fighting, I go to get my physical and they're like, you have a bird's nest and a baby bird growing in your brain. You can't fight Brendan Long. We can go find a commission that will,
right?
Like Minnesota will be like, I don't think that bird is going to hinder your
Texas.
Performance. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Paulie Malignaggi, Juan Diaz is one of the most egregious.
Yeah.
robberies in the history.
And
of
then
the
he, sport. And then he called him out afterwards and got the rematch because of it. They yep. had to give him a rematch because they were like, oh, well, he's not lying. But anyway, I hope Barroso gets another shot at something. I mean,
I mean, the problem with that
is that was a jerk job.
It was. But then you go like, the guy's 40. You and I think he's 60 in real life. Was that his last stand? Was that his last great? Well, we can't say the word great. He was fighting Raleigh Romero. But was that his last good training camp? Was he deflated? The post-fight interview, you tell me what it was. He didn't flip. Was that because for two reasons? Is he so used to getting the short end of the stick? And he just was like, this is what my career has been. So I'm not going to lose my mind. Or was that just like, I'm done. And you took my life from me.
He's 93 years old. He probably didn't even know what was happening.
Very dark.
I don't know, man. Yeah. He's like, I got jobbed in fucking in the US. I got jobbed in Vegas by a Vegas fighter. Romero's from Vegas. You know, so he's probably just like, fuck it. Get my money and get the fuck out of here. I don't
just think it's very difficult to hold everyone accountable. And I think
you can't.
Like what Paulie did. Paulie was a very visible guy. Juan Diaz, Baby Bull, they were promoting him. I believe that fight was on HBO.
HBO, yeah.
You're not talking about something that went unnoticed. I think this can be brushed under the rug. That's my opinion.
I agree. And like you said, they're obviously trying to find a, you know, some sort of angle to find a rivalry to sell that either with Ryan or with Tank.
Absolutely. That is definitely the end game.
That was a shame. And Rolly still stinks. It has done nothing. This fight did nothing to change anybody's mind in that regard.
No, if anything, he stinks more.
He stinks more, right.
Beat up and dropped by a 60-year-old.
Right.
You know, you say 93. Yes. You can say Tank is, you know, Tank is a devastating puncher in his prime, and there's no shame in losing to him. Okay, no problem. You fight a 93-year-old guy. He put you on your back pockets and beat you up, and you were saved by the ref instead of a bell. I mean, this kid's going to get hurt. That's where, as we wrap this review of this fight over,
yeah,
that's what this is going to lead to. Ryan Garcia, who I don't regard highly, and I said that prior to the Tank fight, will hurt him. Any real guy, bro, when I say real, I'm not talking top five. I'm talking top 20. A top 20 guy at 140. Imagine Josh Taylor. An unfocused mutant Teofimo Lopez would concuss this guy at 140.
Agreed.
Who I think is a mess.
I do too. I don't think his career, I don't think we hear about him in a year from now.
He's already gotten two more fights than he ever should have.
Should have, right.
You know what I mean? So when you do that, I guess it's like, I guess God bless you. If I liked him, I'd say, God bless you. Such a goof. I could think of so many guys who deserve the Tank shot and then a shot for a belt. Guys, the reason we're here tonight, if you're a boxing head, if you're an aficionado, this so far in 2023 is what you've been waiting for. That is Devin Haney, Vasyl Lomachenko, all the marbles at 35. Lineal, Ring Magazine, everything. You're the man. Right now, Devin Haney is the man there, undisputed. how do we get this started, B? How do you want to start this off?
Classic.
What do you want to talk about?
Young, brash kid versus the old man, right? And it's crazy to me that Lomachenko is now the old man, because that just makes
35 years old.
That makes me the older man.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, again, the time is now. The time is here. This fight kind of crept up on me. I don't know about you.
Were you doing your friend David Diamante right there?
The time is. I probably get sued for that.
You will. You better cut yourself off. He'll sue us.
He's going to sue us right now.
He's going to sue us.
Yeah. I just actually, there was just a direct withdrawal from my account right into his.
As that happened?
As that happened, yeah. In real time. This is, I got a lot of thoughts on this.
So do I, a lot. Who should start? I have a quick one if you'd like.
Okay, go ahead.
It's just quick. My assessment of this fight is nothing like what it's going to be tonight, 2-3 years ago.
Okay.
This is easy work for a prime Lomachenko. I'm not even stressing it as his fan. I mean, as a fan, a huge Vasily Lomachenko fan, I'm not even stressing it. I'm going to say this and then shut up and let you start. But I want to say this. Since we've started this show, including the missing episodes, this is the fight with the most intangibles and question marks that we've covered since we've started this show. And I think it might be the one with the most intangibles and question marks since you and I have been friends. And we've been friends a long time now.
All right.
And I have them all, but I want you to start.
Holy shit. You really did your homework for this episode.
I
you're really excited. You've been drinking a lot of coffee.
I'm just this is very much a fight that I think I know where you're going with it, and I'm going somewhere else with it. And I've done things where I filmed them. I said Lomachenko is going to make Guillermo Rigondeaux, who is top 10 pound for pound, look silly and stop him. And I made a video and posted it on my IG. And after that happened, Joe Rogan had Kelly Pavlik on right after it happened. He's like, "Do you know Vinny Paz, the rapper? Not the boxer, the rapper." And Kelly Pavlik was like, "I've heard the name." And he's like, "Yo, he called this
nice.
Exactly how it was going to happen." And when you do that, you have to agree with me here, B. You lend yourself to getting abused.
If it doesn't happen.
Rigondeaux,
I was there.
Rigondeaux ices Lomachenko, and I have that out there in the world.
Oh, yeah.
I can't look more of a goof, and I'm going there tonight again. So,
So,
please.
Here's my thought. So, now when this fight was first made, I think we all said, wow, Haney looks like he's on the upswing. Loma looks like he's on the downswing, right? The more and more I started to think about this fight, the more and more I started to lean the other way, meaning fight was first made. I said, I'm thinking at this point in both guys' careers, Haney wins a decision. Now I'm thinking to myself, wait a second. Let me look at Haney style, Loma style, right? Haney is basically a three-punch guy, clinch. Referee breaks it, creates the distance for Haney. Haney then goes back into jab, jab, cross, clinch, right? Rinse and repeat. Jab, jab, cross, clinch, right? It's not real. He's not dynamic, Haney. I don't think anyone disagrees with me there. He's not like a dynamic style fighter, right?
Great, great assessment. And using that word.
Right. So he's got a really... First of all, he's big for 135 pounds, right? He used that very well to his advantage.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I'm going to say he's very big.
Right.
All right. Sorry.
He creates distance and he uses the distance well. We've seen some guys sort of forfeit their distance, right? Fandora, a guy we spoke about earlier in the show, being one of them. So with that said, Haney.
Paul Williams, Chico Corrales.
Right. Your basic orthodox, straight up and down Devin Haney fighter, right? Jab, jab first, followed by the cross, blinds you with the jab, doubles the jab nice, does some other stuff really nice too. He does body work from a distance well. We've all questioned some of his defense on defending counters. We've seen him get caught with big counters, and I don't think he's ever been, has he ever been down on your watch?
No, he was really badly hurt, but not down.
Right.
And absolutely saved by the bell. I don't mean from a knockout, but right. He was going down. If there right. was, if literally the bell didn't ring, he was going down.
He was going down. Right.
Don't mean knockout, so don't write me saying that.
I've been critical of Haney in terms of where he keeps his hands, where he keeps his chin. The same thing I was critical of Ryan Garcia about. What Haney, and I said this to the aforementioned Tommy Rayon, and Tommy Rayon said this to me because him and I discuss fights often, almost as often as you and I do. We talk on the phone, especially about boxing because it's just too much to text. And he called me up and was like, I got a lot of thoughts about this Devin Haney Lomachenko thing. And I said, oh, I do too. I was just thinking about that. And we both went into diatribes about jab, jab, cross against a southpaw who's smaller than you, who doesn't let you rest. Devin Haney has been fortunate enough that when he needs to rest, he's big enough to lean on a guy. And Rayon pointed it out really well, like Vlad, when he got with Manny Stewart, right? He's going to jab, jab, cross, lean, jab, jab. And I said to him, I said, it's crazy you said that, because I was thinking when he goes to clinch, Loma does not let you clinch.
No.
He's a fucking little muscle pest who doesn't let you clinch. His head is going to be in your chin, in your chest. If you ever watch Loma, when you try to clinch, he busts the clinch with his elbows and he rips off like 2-3 body shots and then oftentimes goes up top, most recently against Richard Comey, and scored a knockdown.
Yes, left hook, little short left hook.
Little short left hook on the inside, knocked the guy down. He also scores knockdowns, this is Loma, late. Loma's not a guy that's going to, you know, blast you out of there in the first 2 or 3 rounds. He's going to wear you down. What that tells us, you, me, everybody, is that it's a work in progress, where Loma oftentimes works where you don't see him work. And against the taller, bigger guy who's leaning on him, if Loma has what I think he has, and that's motivation, because this is for all the belts, and this guy is a glory fighter, okay? Devin Haney's jab, jab, cross, clinch isn't going to work the way it has against opponents in the past. Devin Haney's got it, and I haven't seen it with him. He better have something else for a guy like Loma. Otherwise, when he goes to clinch, he's going to be walking into a barrage of body shots in the first quarter of the fight, okay? Those body shots will eventually turn into headshots. And then those headshots, then you see Lomachenko, that's when he starts to cruise, right? Mid-rounds, now after he's ripped your body up, after you're chasing him all over the fucking ring, he's angles, he's spinning you, he's punching you in from angles you don't see. They don't all necessarily hurt, but they start to wear you down. He starts to chop at the foundation. He starts to bust that thing down from the foundation.
He's like an annoying bee.
Right. And he doesn't let you rest. Haney. I hope everybody at the time of this recording saw the footage that I saw today. Haney is calling Lomachenko a dirty fighter. They're walking in during the press conference.
I was going to play it. If if you're interested. I don't know when I do that kind of stuff, if you are interested in that or you don't think we should do that kind of stuff.
But what I'm saying is, to me, that's Haney tipping his hat as to A, what they've been looking at as far as, you know, as far as film is concerned, and B, building in an excuse in terms of if this thing doesn't go his way.
Well, talk about what we talked about off air, B. I know it's an aside, but just for this, it's important. You said to me, Vin, did you see that they assigned a referee? I told you yes.
Yeah. So the referee in this case is going to be Harvey Dock, which to me, that's a great referee for Lomachenko. Harvey Dock doesn't get involved. Harvey Dock lets the guys fight out of clinches. Harvey Dock, by the way, that's what you're supposed to do. Haney is saying that Loma is dirty for fighting out of a clinch. You're supposed to fight out of a
clinch. That's what you're supposed to do. You're
supposed to fight
every time a ref breaks, it's because those two dolts were incapable of working out of the
clinch.
Or they did, or they don't want to because they're getting clipped by something. So they allow him to do it so they can reset. But if you see two high level guys that want to be in there, they'll work out of the clinch on their own.
Right. So what I think might have started to happen is Haney starting to see certain things, including the referee. So I said to some of my other buddies that I talk boxing with, I said, Harvey Dock is much more Steve Smoger than he is Russell Mora. You know what I mean?
I like that.
He's going to let these guys fight. I don't think the lights will get him. He's not a Kenny Bayless. You know, Kenny Bayless has a big ego now, wants to be part of the show. By the way, that's what happens oftentimes with referees. They want to be part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
You really shouldn't. I'm gonna keep my mouth shut about something else, but because I'm friendly with him. But once the referee starts to have this like overwhelming personality, it's not a good look. You know, you really shouldn't hear too much about the referee. And Harvey Dock is a class act. He's a great referee. And I think it'll be beneficial for the fight, that they have a guy like Dock in there. Anyway, what I'm getting at is Haney's going to have to be, and he could be, listen, we could be watching a guy in his prime. Haney's going to have to be pinpoint with that jab. I think Haney is going to have to push the pace the whole time. I don't think, because he's not really a big counterpuncher. You know, Haney's a front foot guy. He's going to have to push the pace against Loma and do what he's going to try to do and try to smother Loma. But I think Loma's is a tough customer. Again, like you said, he's just a buzzing bee. And I don't think he'll be able to do that. Now, can Loma keep a big guy like Haney off of him, or not off of him necessarily, but be able to counter and work in those spots when he needs to for the duration of the fight? These are all questions that they'll answer on Saturday. I think Haney's got a tougher test than Loma. Do I do my pick after my assessment?
No, I don't think so. I should say things and you bounce off of them. And
okay.
Well, as I stated when we started, there's intangibles and question marks, and question marks is really what I'm okay. Here's a question mark for me. I don't know, because he hasn't fought since, how good Jermaine Ortiz is. He put on a valiant effort that night. Right. I don't think it was close the way that Loma haters think it was.
Right.
You know, he put up a good fight against a great fighter.
Right.
We don't know until he fights other people. Those are things that tip certain scales. If that kid goes on to be really good, that win looks different.
Sure.
As of right now, Loma haters are looking at this guy, you know, was a nobody. I don't think beating Nair Albright was very good, and then beating Herring, who was a solid guy,
right,
is means you're a nobody. They're two solid wins.
You know what I mean?
And that's who Jermaine Ortiz beat prior to the Loma comeback fight. Mm-hmm. So that's huge for me. If this Jermaine Ortiz stinks, then what's happening to Loma is what is happening to Canelo. Still very high level, but not the guy that he once was.
Right.
Now, again, I don't know, because the kid hasn't fought since then, and he certainly hasn't fought an elite guy since then.
Right.
That's all of that is huge for me in my assessment of this. I have to give my assessment based on the fact that this guy, whether you hate him or love him, and Vasyl Lomachenko, and I do not know how you can hate him. I just don't, but a lot of them exist.
Well, I know how you hate him.
So do I.
You're stupid.
Yeah. First ballot Hall of Famer. I said to you off air when the fight got made, Vasyl Lomachenko, if he's 70% of what he once was, he beats Devin Haney. If he loses this fight, he's below that now. He is now 60% of his former self, or under 70.
Okay.
He can have slipped that much.
Mm-hmm.
And still beat him. And if he doesn't, he slipped more than that. Devin Haney. Now, sometimes we've talked about things. Not sometimes. All the time we talk about things. We can't say this on the air. We're protecting people. And those people are usually our friends. You know? Well, always our friends.
Right.
The stuff I know is far removed enough now. It wasn't before when we started the show. It's far removed enough now where I can say things that won't come back to this person because it's enough removed, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
If I said it when it happened, it would be like, oh, well, I know.
Yeah.
Every single time it's ever gotten rough in sparring for Devin Haney, Bill Haney literally jumps up and, like, creates a diversion and stops it. Like, oh, Devin's headgear is turned crooked.
Right. Yeah.
He got parked in sparring. Now, they say, you know, not to talk about these things. Sparring doesn't matter. Well, sparring didn't matter. They wouldn't spar.
Right.
Keandre Gibson had him in way worse shape than Linares did. Way worse shape. Keandre Gibson's not a puncher. Not that Lomachenko is, but we've seen him one-hitter quitter people or a combination. Like, I've seen him do people dirt. Rocky right. Martinez.
Right.
So it's not as if he's feather fist. No, you're right. He's just usually an annoying bee, and if he gets you out of there, it's usually an accumulation or guys quit on their stool three in a row. No Mashenko. People conveniently forget that wasn't that long ago. That this guy was that good, and is at when he's functioning at that level that I'm talking about. And I keep saying ? intangible. Is this guy still functioning at that level? Because I go, okay, let's look at Teo. Okay, it's like torn chips in the shoulder, rotator cuff, et cetera, et cetera. That wasn't a guy that was 100%. You know, the Jermaine Ortiz, I don't know how good Jermaine Ortiz is. He beat two really solid guys, and he wasn't supposed to beat either of them. But he hasn't fought since then. So like I said,
right.
If he goes on to beat some guys, you and I will go, hey, yo, B, that Jermaine Ortiz win was good for Lomachenko. The win looks different. Right now, it's like, oh, I don't know who he was. It's the guys who don't know.
Right.
Now, Albright's good, man. He trains over here in Philly. He's really good. Nyjer Albright. Look, man, you said he's not dynamic. I think he fights like a guy at 135, John Ruiz.
Right.
1-2 clinch. 1-2 clinch. Right. He does double up the jab, so you're right. Double jab, right cross, clinch. When that style works for you, I just don't care, B. I'm never going to be a fan. He can keep these fucking belts. He can win this fight. He can go to 40. He can win those belts. And I'm going to go, John Ruiz held that belt for 5,000 years too, whatever belt he held. And he did it. And I wanted to blow my brains out. There was a time when the Klitschkos were running shit. I wanted to blow my brains out. Can I look back on it and respect it? Of course. Do I respect for what they both did? Of course. Was I horny every time it came up? No, I watched it because I'm a sick maniac and I watch everything. But we can't pretend like there weren't guys who did good things and had a lot of success in the sport that just weren't fun to watch. We've talked about Ergon Diaw before, and I love to watch him. People are like, yo, avoid it like the plague.
Right.
I know, and I'm not talking about casual, but I know real boxing people that are like, no. I get it, but I ain't watching it.
Right.
So I'm not telling you he's not good or even that he's not great, but I ain't watching it. I've had people, respected people, tell me that about it, about Ergon Diaw. Yo, I respect it. I get it. I get the pedigree. I can't do it. So don't get it twisted, and that leads me to go, oh, so he stinks, or da 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 da. There's lots of stuff, bro. I think he's had the easiest route to undisputed that I've ever seen in the modern era.
Yeah, you got Kambosos, who was like a Cinderella story, you know, beats a really, I don't know what the fuck you want to call it, Teofimo Lopez at this point, but it's just off the rails type of guy. Hey, take nothing away from him. And Haney went down to Australia and
twice. There's things you can't take away from people, whether you like it or that. Yo, you fight the guys in front of you.
Right.
And
he went down there. He was going to go down there without his father. Trainer at first, you know, the due to some you know, law, couldn't get down there. Haney was still willing to go do it. So look, bottom line, Haney's got
I was watching some tape. The kid's undefeated, so what do you do with that information? Well, depending on the level of fighter they are, when they're brilliant, it's hard to find, oh, how can you beat this guy? You know what I mean? Yeah. Right. I don't think Devin Haney's brilliant. I think he's really good. I don't like his style, but I think he's really good.
Right.
He gets hit by straight lefts.
Right.
Jojo Diaz, who has just fallen off, you know, completely. There were pockets. He did not win that fight. It wasn't close. Guys, don't bother telling me that. I know that. B knows that. It wasn't close. Devin Haney won convincingly. But, guys, things can happen in fights that can show you. He had pockets of success. He didn't win. It wasn't close. He stung Haney with the left. He landed it a bunch of times and didn't particularly stun him, but they landed clean.
Right.
I think Harvey Dock and his ability to not make himself known and presence felt will be huge. If Loma fights at that distance that he loves, that's from mid-range in.
Right.
He dices this kid up. I don't think the things that Haney does good, like that really long double jab, can do to Lomachenko what it's done to all of these guys up until this point. It's just a stiff double jab that prevents guys from coming in or makes them reset. because these guys have been basic. Cambosis right. is basic.
Right.
There's no angles there.
Right.
He's gonna slide those jabs, man.
If he gets underneath those jabs and then lands the counter left to the body, right?
The straight left counter to the body.
Yeah. What did we just see a couple weeks ago from a southpaw? A short southpaw, yep, against a long jabber.
Yep.
In Ryan Garcia, we saw a devastating body shot.
And I said he's going to, that fight, I said he's going to go downstairs,
right,
come up top and stop him, but he didn't need to. The shot to the body stopped.
I think Loma's body work on the inside will be the factor in this fight.
What I didn't finish when I was saying earlier about Keandre Gibson and Bill Haney jumping up and stopping things is that the drop on him, meaning Haney, because he's the guy who has to fight the fights. You know what I mean? But yeah. Bill Haney is one of these. He's not as bad as Danny's dad. He's not as bad as Teo's dad, but he's like creeping in on that annoyance.
He's a stage dad.
He's a dance mom, you know?
Yep.
It's just when you have other guys that are so repugnant, you don't look as bad in comparison.
Right, right, right.
And those guys are more repugnant than Bill Haney.
They certainly are.
With that said, he's very caught. This is shit that I know, bro. This isn't guesswork. Guesswork is me saying, B, me and you don't know how good Jermaine Ortiz is until he fights other guys. If he gets in there with a guy that's a hobo at 35 and gets sparked out, we're like, boy, that was...
Yeah, not
Loma.
Not,
that's not a good. That's not a good look for Loma.
Not a great win. Yeah,
but it's guesswork until sure. then.
Sure.
This is. I'm talking about. This isn't third hand info. This is people texting me the day it happened. That this kid is coddled, has always been coddled, and that when shit gets rough, B, the towel is thrown in. I don't mean in the professional ranks as a pro. I mean, whether it's sparring, whether it's getting dropped in sparring, whether it's someone's getting in his ass, hey, yo, in sparring, yo. And there's being a diversion created by Bill Haney. This isn't me hearing through grapevines. This is me. I had guys with fighters in there, were physically in there, in the gym. The only thing I don't want to say is the name of the gym because it's very... the nepotism in Vegas gyms would give it away. That's the only part I'll, you know what I mean? Because that right. keeps my guy safe. If I keep the gym, what gym it was out, you know what I mean? That's the only thing that could tip it off with how far removed it's been. But it factually, Bill Haney has created diversions when someone's eating his kid's food, literally jump up on there and create something like his lace is untied. His headgear is da 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 da. He got. We saw him on Queer Street from
Linares,
who in his prime was very good to lower level great, but absolutely was very good.
Yeah,
was
absolutely offensively
was very good. I think Vasyl Lomachenko stops this kid late.
Bet the over, but you're saying stops him late.
Yes. I think he beats this kid up and takes his heart.
Wow. All right.
I see the return of Nomashchenko.
I'm going to go ahead and say close in the first few rounds. Loma starts to take control. And ultimately comes away with a unanimous decision over 12. I don't think he stops him, but I think he hurts him and comes away victorious.
It's the first fight as a professional that Vasyl Lomachenko is the underdog. So guys, you know, if you're a degenerate, there's a lot to play that. Hey man, Haney's minus 260. Wow. So that's two and a half. He's a 2.5-1 favorite. The over under is 10.5. I think he stops him in the 11th.
And bets on himself and wins that.
I think he's it's stopped by Bill Haney or a ref. I don't, you know, I don't think that it's you know, this one hit a quitter. Right. I think that it's very much like that little Nomashchenko run that he went on, those three. Yeah. This is all predicated on the fact that this is the guy. Was it Dennis Green? They are who we thought they were.
This is me thinking he is
who I think he is. You bringing up what you thought about Canelo at 32. Is that making me a little nervous? Yes. Flip side is he's also been fighting 300 years at 32.
But Loma too, huge, you know, 300 amateur
fights. Loma is plus 215, guys. That means if you bet a hunch, you get $215 back. If you think Devin Haney's gonna win, guys, you have to bet $260 to win $100.
So
I love the over no matter what you guys think is gonna happen. Okay. I love that over.
I love the over.
And because if you forced me to say, which people don't do this, but if you forced me to say, Vin, if what you happen doesn't happen, what do you think is going to happen? I'd say it goes 12 and Loma takes over from 5-12 and wins. Maybe a majority decision. You know, there's a lot going on here.
I think Loma will rule the second half of the fight with Haney possibly having some moments. But I have a feeling that we're going to see a motivated Lomachenko here.
Agreed.
A guy who's had his, if you want to call it a tune-up in Ortiz. He's not fighting the war right now like he was the last time. Last time we saw him. I think that Lomachenko typically fights up to competition.
I was going to cut you off and say, I'm going to say two things. One of them, you and I think is cringe. And the other one is something that we both agree on. And you look at the Gary Russell Jr. fight and his masterful performances are against the best guys.
The best guys. So
because his brain, this is very difficult for people to understand. Because 99.9% of the Earth's population doesn't do anything great. I'm including myself, including you, except your accents.
Boom, the best.
What happens when you're that brilliant?
G'day, mate.
When you have to fight, or not? I'm not snoring. When you have to do something that doesn't get you hotsy-totsy, it's hard to get up for it.
Right.
So what people saw Lomachenko doing in the Ortiz fight and against Ortiz, Loma's brain was going, I'm toying with this guy. This guy's got nothing for me. So he's not putting his foot on the gas. But I don't mean with power. I mean overall, the angles, the everything. He's going, I'm so much better than this guy that me at 6 is a night off and I'm going to win. I'm not saying it's the right thing. The same way I don't think it's the right thing that he takes rounds off early.
Right.
And that was the other thing that you and I say is cringe. He's downloading information. You and I literally get the douche chills.
Well,
but I do think there's going to be Loma feeling out the jab, what it does to him.
Judging distance. Yes. Seeing what's coming behind it.
Does he snap it or does he pull? I'm not asking you and me. I'm asking.
Yeah.
He's going to be asked. Is this enough to upset my rhythm? Am I going to slip it? Or am I going to let him touch me with one of them and slide the second?
Right.
And slip the second one to time him. Cause he's time. What?
How quickly is he bringing it back?
Back.
Is he? Right.
And how quick is the cross coming off of the second jab?
Right.
Because in Haney's head, this is all timing. One, two, right cross. I'm timing you. If right. the second of the first two jabs, that's the jab that Loma's really going to start the time.
Right.
And when he slips that, he's going to, if he punches with.
Right. I was just going to say.
He punches with him when he starts throwing that cross that cross. You brought up earlier. Right. You brought up that right cross. If Loma starts timing the second jab, that split second coming off that second jab or parries the second jab, lets the first one touch him, shoulder, you know, top of the head, wherever. I think it's also dangerous. It's very dangerous if Haney starts trying to put that jab downstairs. I think that's right. very dangerous.
Right.
That's very dangerous. And Bill Haney is a schmohawk, and he might tell his kid, put that down to his belly, and he's going to get countered up top off of a jab.
Right.
I think Harvey Dock, man, I think that could be huge. I don't want it to be. If he lets them fight in the clinch, he's going to rip the body. He's going to rip him to the body. I don't think he could take it to the body. I don't think he's built for this, B. I don't think he's cut like that. I think he's a coddled kid. Leading up to it, the things he said have really turned me off as a person. Right. You know what I'm saying? I don't get into that. Like when we do the he stinks stuff, that's reserved for like Raleigh Romero's of the world. And I do this. Joe Joyce does stink to me, but I don't. That's not coming out here. That's not what we're doing here. This isn't slander with this kid. He got there. He's a kid. He did it. When he couldn't get sanctioned here, he went and fought in Mexico to get some experience. He hasn't fought a murderer's row. The guys he has fought that were good were either past their prime or, you know what I mean?
Right.
So this is absolutely his biggest test.
I wanted to touch on what you said, too. If the first jab comes and the second jab behind it, even if it's just a 1-2, a jab cross, I think Loma slipping, parrying, that's the most important part of this.
Agreed.
Is Loma avoiding that first jab.
Agreed. Because
then that second jab and the cross won't have a home.
But I think the second jab is imperative for the timing of what you just said.
But
parrying and the angle, those half steps he takes after that second jab and is ready to throw the cross.
Right.
It's not going to be there for him, and there's going to be something coming back.
Back, right. I also think, too, if Loma can drown him a bit, right, take him into some deep water, and Haney tries that jab cross, that second jab is going to be lazy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He's going to be tired, fatigued.
And that's what I was saying to you. What is that jab doing to Loma?
Right.
Yo, he's snapping this. You know, we would talk about – of course, the guy's in his 40s now, but we used to talk about that power jab that Golovkin threw.
Right.
It's like it's almost a power punch.
Right.
It's
right,
making
right.
you reset. It's disrupting everything.
Right. Right.
So that's what I think Loma's going to do in the early rounds is assess that jab and what is it doing? When is he throwing the second? And what's coming back? Is he going to catch and shoot off that second jab
when he's
ready to throw the right?
And Vin, is Loma going to? If Loma's going to try and time him as he's coming into clinch, it's going to be bat, bat, bat.
Yes.
2-3 shots down low, turn either left or turn right, and then there's going to be nothing to clinch on. And if there is, it's the top of my head is going to be right in your chin.
Yep.
It's all of that gets annoying. And it hurts.
You know those beautiful slips to the left and right?
Yeah.
I mean, beautiful.
Yeah. Right.
Those are massive to me, in my opinion, for this fight. Because when you're fighting a guy that long, AO, that's trying to use distance, that nullifies it almost.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It cuts that distance off. And you're magically, because his feet are so brilliant, you're magically in that range. That mid to close range, because let's not forget, you think Loma short, much shorter, but his mid range is mean. You think
Absolutely.
Like, oh, he's got to be on the inside. Basically, you're Haney, you got to keep this guy on the outside at the end of that jab. And that's it. That's right. How you win. That's it. If you cannot do that, you're fucked. And it's you're fucked early.
Early.
If you can successfully do that, which no one has done, I'm including Teo and Salido. If you can successfully keep him frustratingly on the outside,
right?
A, more power to you. B, that's how you win.
That's how you win.
If Devin Haney wins this fight, I don't know if we do this when we make predictions, but I'm just gonna. If he does, it's John Ruiz-esque, and Harvey Dock lets it happen and lets it happen.
It's a holding stinker.
He stinks out the joint. There's booze, and he gets to, you know, and it's because it was allowed to happen, and Lomachenko wasn't allowed to work in the clinch and work out of the clinch like he did with Comey. With that, he didn't even take a half a step back. He was in his chest when he crumbled him with that left.
Right.
He didn't even do the classic, I'll take a half a step back and rip an uppercut.
Right.
It was a little short left in his chest.
Right. And just boom.
None of this shit, bro. I'm telling you that this kid cannot take any of this. I don't mean from a chin perspective, even though he's chinny.
No.
Factually. Because people are going, you can't say he's chinny just because Linares. Guess what? I can. He was on Queer Street in sparring against Keandre Gibson, and anytime he was hurt or stumbled, other times, which he has been, there's been nefarious
stuff
shit going on.
Right.
And this is all factual to people that, right, that think out there.
So to stamp this.
Stamp it, B.
Vinny Paz, 10th round knockout.
Nomashenko, 11.
Nomashenko, 11. Okay. Brendan Long, official pick is a Lomachenko decision victory. I'm actually going to say UD.
Okay. Guys, it's for the all the marbles at 35. Quick little addendum, B. It's a good close fight, a rematch, or no?
Yeah, if it's a close fight.
Good close fight. 115,
yeah,
113.
Yeah.
Split decision, et cetera, et cetera.
You got
guys have their moments. They run it back.
Well, okay, if Loma wins, yes. If Haney wins, I don't think he'll grant him if it's close and he wins, he won't grant him a rematch.
Yeah.
But I think
that would be smart. And that would be smart.
And deserve it, right? Because he gave Cambo a rematch, let him fight again for his belts. Uh-huh. I actually don't think Loma would deserve it if he lost at this point. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be typical. I mean, unless it's like really, you know, back and forth, they trade knockdowns, you know, and the fans really, really, really want to see it.
Right.
Hey guys, also on this card, Oscar Valdez,
the return.
He comes back against Adam Lopez. So you can check that out. See how he looks. He hasn't fought in over a year since Shakur put it on him.
I hate to say this. I think that's one of those never come back from beatings.
I don't think so. I think we're good.
On a high level. You know what I'm saying? I don't see it. Does he hang around? Yeah, he'll hang around a little bit, you know, but
he's
at a high level. I really like, really, really, really like.
He's taking a lot of punishment too.
He has.
Broken jaw.
Can you tell me the word you used about Haney earlier?
No.
How did you describe him? I said, that's a great way to describe him.
He's not dynamic.
These guys who aren't dynamic, like, and Oscar Valdez falls under that. It's tough to come back.
Right.
You start being, everything starts looking like slow motion to your opponent. If they're good. Right. I don't even know this guy, honestly.
Lopez?
He's got
a couple losses. He's an American. He's been around for a while.
I bet $1 million as soon as I see his face, I know him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when you watch tons and tons of Latino fighters, and Lopez is the last name.
Yeah.
After the week after that, before we get into mail and get out of here, the week after that, Mauricio Lara, Lee Wood, I don't see any. How old is Mauricio Lara now? He's a kid, isn't he? He's another one. He's 25 and he looks 109. I mean, jokes aside, he's 25 and looks 45.
He's only 25, that fucking
yeah,
guy?
Yeah, bro. He looks 45 years old.
Holy shit.
Look, man. Lee Wood lost to Jazza Dickens. I mean, Gavin McDonald, he stopped him. I don't know, man. This is a, what is it called, being television? A callback? Callback to you asking our UK guys, like, how does this these things happen? Like, well, how did he? I mean, guys, you're a Lee Wood guy? Like, how, Lee Wood here would be like, yeah, I'm going to see Lee Wood at the Blue Horizon.
Right.
Lee Wood in New York.
Lee Wood's at Sony Hall.
Yeah, or you'd be like, bro, I'm going to where they had ECW in Queens. What was it, the Elks Lodge?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to the Elks Lodge. Good little fight, Lee Wood.
Yeah.
Versus some Italian kid from, you know, Staten Island, Italy. Guys, you got to explain this to us. Your obsession with these guys was sort of, mediocre. If we're comparatively speaking here,
I mean,
where we say everything's relative.
Lee Wood is getting fights in TV time based on the Mick Conlon brawl from what, like a year and a half ago now. So good for him. Cash in on it. But yeah, he's limited.
I mean, that was amazing. You know,
it was.
That was amazing.
But Mauricio Lara is.
Especially because I've been saying that
Conlon's
Mick Conlon stinks. Yeah.
Right. But Lara's been taking scalps in the UK now, beat to Josh Warrington, and then. Got a draw. I think he spit on Josh Warrington after the last fight with Lee Wood. He jumped out of the ring and
the head clash, right? Wasn't it?
But no, after the Lee Wood fight, no, but after he beat Lee Wood in their last fight, he jumped out of the ring and spit on Josh Warrington in the broadcast booth.
I don't remember that, bro. Yeah, How could I not remember that?
Lara's a fucking lunatic. He's a 25-year-old going on. Maybe because he looks so old. You know what I mean? He's just fucking angry that people keep sending him AARP shit. You know what
right,
I mean? Like,
that could be it. I'm going to play something, guys, before we get to the mail and get out of here.
Yeah, because I got to go.
This is Devin Haney and Lomachenko in what I'm assuming is the hotel.
Yeah, they're walking.
They're like walking together. And,
yeah, they do that on TV. So, like, they have, like, a face-off. They have a press conference, and then they'll walk together. Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, look, anyone who English is their second language, wherever you're from in the world, guys, super respect if you try to pick up a language late in life. But we know Loma's limited, but what's his name's there? The guy we like that manages all those guys.
Klimas.
Klimas is there. But basically this is, Devin Haney saying to Lomachenko that he's a dirty fighter, and B, I hope you agree with this. If I guess there's a lot, if you're a hater of him, maybe there's things you could say about him. Him being dirty isn't one of them. So
wow.
I don't know where it's coming from. And you brought up earlier where you think it's coming from. So guys, here it is. It's brief. And then we'll read now.
Wants to do on the inside. He wants to make it a dirty fight. Slip the jab.
Dirty.
I'll do it now.
Where did you see a dirty fight during my career? Where?
You know, beach fight. You know that's your best bet. You know that's your best bet against me.
What's the best?
Like your best bet.
My best chance to do a dirty fight.
Yeah.
Come on.
Never. Have you ever seen him fighting dirty? Yes, I have. Where? All of your fights. Which one?
Tell me.
So where was dirty? Where? Punching on the inside. When you say break, punch.
Oh,
yeah. We know what you're preparing.
Good. Good. So
break
yeah.
me punch. So it's good. Break me punch. Break me punch or break his break.
Good. Break. No. Break. What? No. Break. You have to, but prepare yourself. Stop. Stop. It means yeah. stop. It means yeah. stop punching.
So, we'll leave you with that, guys. Billy, do we have any mail?
We got a great mail bag tonight.
That smile means something, babe.
Well, let me just jump into our old pal, Walter Sobchak.
Oh, is this Derek from Texas?
Derek from Texas, a.k.a. No. Correct.
Oh. Is he writing in as correct?
So he's writing in as Walter Sobchak.
Mm-hmm. So there is no reference to correct or his government name.
No, but he signs off as Derek from Texas, which
Okay.
It's good.
Okay.
I like it. So he says, howdy. What was that AO last? What was that AO last week by B? And let me just pause here because I caught the AO when it happened.
It's very true you did.
And I almost stopped the podcast.
More abuse from Philadelphia and Philadelphia Extended.
I actually have a clip of this AO, and I'm going
to
play it
for you. I know, I've been listening to it for 2 weeks.
Please, please.
You know, your natural instinct if someone's coming in your face is to flinch.
Let me, play- Let me just play that one more time.
Please, please.
You know, your natural instinct if someone's coming in your face is to flinch.
Mr. Sobchak says, hey yo, what is going on here? What kind of show is this? And I agree with him.
You agree with him? Okay. Enough, but children.
That is our official first soundboard clip for Knock 'Em Out the Box podcast.
Oh boy. Glad and I could contribute.
It will be played often.
I'm glad I could contribute.
Coincidentally enough, Brendan, you encouraged people to write Kill Bill messages last week, and there was not a single one.
Yeah, I know. You guys soft-ass knockies out here.
People don't respect Irish Billy and what respect. I do here.
Oh, you have a little fan club now of simps.
Maybe I'll make my own name of my fan club. We'll have to work on that.
What the... The simps? The Billy simps?
But,
that's what it is. Bunch of fucking softies.
Wow. We have Matt Najera checking in. What's up, fellas?
That would be Najera.
Najera.
Okay. Najera.
Yeah, Jesus Cristo.
It's not Najera?
No, you fucking honky.
N-A-J-E-R-A.
No, that's Najera.
However he pronounces it. Mm-hmm. I like this guy. What's up, fellas? The only one who needs to be suspended is the master of accents and his continued disregard for the box cutter Pazzi. His continued disregard for the man box cutter Pazzi.
Agreed.
And starting the Kill Bill going on the good man Irish Billy. All that needs to be suspended, in his opinion. Killer B needs a muted segment without notice. I'll keep that in mind.
You know what I'll keep in mind? When simps write in for fucking free tickets and CDs and shirts and shit. Because that's what the fuck that is. I'm just gonna start calling people out. So you want merch, is what you're saying. That's what you're saying? You want
Matt
merch?
Continues money? To say that he loves the constant clowning of each other. And he laughed his ass off, and he's so glad that the pot
well,
is
now,
back.
Now he just opened up Pandora's box, because I reserved my ball busting for the two of you. Now when hecklers join in, I'm going to do what Bill Burr did in fucking Philadelphia, and I'm just taking them all down. All right?
Highly.
That's what I'm doing now.
Highly overrated, that Bill Burr thing that people think is brilliant.
Right.
When he lost his mind in Philly, and people are like, calls Bill Burr mercy. And I sat through the whole thing and I was like, it's really not that funny. And I think he's hilarious, by the way. His promo on Philly's not really that great. It's very overrated because everyone hates us. Everyone hates the city.
But I think it was
so
just
they were more horny than.
I think it was just the length of time that he could have just stopped and didn't and just kept.
I get it. I'm not gonna front like I don't get it, but there's definitely people are like that brilliant that like it's bro. All right, a person annoyed you in Philly? Shocker. Everyone's annoying here.
Shocker.
Yeah.
And Matt ends his email with the hashtag yellow journalism.
This is just trying to butter up Paz for free shit.
Paz, I think we should give Matt the opposite of getting suspended from the mailbag. Matt can write in next week and we'll read anything he wants.
Wrong. He wants to promote something.
That's it. I'm roasting everybody.
Matt, give us an email. We'll read it no matter what.
It's not hard to give B a breakdown to where he goes from 1 to 100 and goes into murder mode. I thought I had a temper, and I do. This guy's ability to go to 0 to 60 to where he wants to pull a gun out is unrivaled.
Whoa! You get me locked
unrivaled.
Up.
Unrivaled, this guy. Me and Billy will bust balls in his first bar, returning bars. I'm going to stab both of you when we're on the group text. If we do something to bust his balls, I'll kill both of you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. You hear that? A little South Billy that killed both of you.
It's not true.
I'll kill both of you.
No, it's not true. It's more yellow journalism.
We got it on tape. Rewind
good,
it.
Good. We will. It back. We will.
It that, slips
this
out.
This portion of the podcast was lost. We got Russ Bus checking in. Vin and B, glad you guys are back in action, and I hope you guys enjoyed your break and tour. My question is, do you think Pacquiao was on PEDs?
Yes.
Obviously, he never pissed hot, and it's all speculation, but Paulie and different groups of fans are very convinced he was. Paulie being the intelligent mind he is, I have to at least take his views on the matter into consideration. I was just curious if you guys believe there's any merit to these claims. Take care, dudes. Russ Bus.
Can I ask a serious question? I know it's a ball-busting show to both of you. Where does libel stand and stuff like that with answering this question? Do you have to preface it with saying this is speculation, allegedly?
Yeah.
To me, it's... I hate talking like this because it sounds condescending. I think you have to be a moron if you don't think he was on the gas. But the people who there was this strange thing where you had to like Pacquiao or you had to like Floyd. I never understood it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was racially motivated, but I'm nor black nor Filipino. I just like good fighters and they were both great. Whatever it's worth, Floyd was absolutely on cycles too.
Allegedly, maybe, possibly.
But
I feel the same way Vinny does. It was a weird time. The criminals will always be a step in front of the cops, so to speak. So no matter what kind of testing there is, someone's going to find a way around it. They cycle on, they cycle off. I don't know how long that shit lasts in your body. Right into KOTBboxing@gmail.com. If you know, I go based on what I think, and I'm not that influenced by other people's opinions. I do think that these guys were on some stuff, Pacquiao being one of these guys. I think that both Klitschko brothers were too. Allegedly, maybe. I don't want to talk anymore because this is all right. We answered the question.
Yeah.
Next. Thanks for writing in, Russ.
All right. Fabian Alfaro says, "What's up, guys? Hope all is well. You guys were talking about how fighters have no quit in them. There's a fight out there that I always wanted to see, but never happened. Who do you guys have winning between?" And I'm probably going to mess this up. Ruslan Provodnikov.
You said it perfectly, actually.
Perfect.
And Brandon Rios.
Provo.
They would beat the shit out of each other. Yeah. Provodnikov would probably come out the victor, but it would be a bloodletting.
He's a naturally bigger guy. Provo.
Yeah.
I'm picking Provodnikov.
And Bam Bam Rios was scrambled.
From birth.
From birth. There was a pregnant pause.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to say.
I
Provodnikov was a fucking goon. When you like get into those dudes who like ate bear.
Yeah.
Like I ain't fucking with you.
And then like
you got that, my guy. You got that.
His dream was like to be like the sheriff in like his one donkey town.
There's like seven people there.
Yeah.
That was like his life's goal.
Yeah, I just love to be sheriff.
Yeah. When you're so far into the country that you're Asian,
yeah,
you're
Siberian,
you're
Rocky,
yeah, right.
Yeah,
you don't want to fuck around with Ruslan Provodnikov. That's
no,
yeah, that would have been a bloodbath, though.
All right, next we have Civil Gorilla checking in. Sup, fellas, Civil Gorilla here. Big up, Vinny, on wrapping up your touring. You're a G.
Thank you, sir.
Drunk Billy, keep standing your ground with those two because clearly they need you. I agree.
Wow.
And
more
Brendan,
Billy fans, B.
Yeah, a lot of right. Billy fans.
All right.
He has all room for the underdog.
He does.
And yeah. Brendan, master of accents, I think you need to get a good impression of El Muy Guapo Senior Eddie Hearns going, a little gift to the people.
Wait, hold on.
I might have read that weird.
Yeah.
I think you need to get a good impression of El Muy Guapo Senior Eddie Hearns going. And that would be a little gift to the people.
He's sick calling him a hunk.
He's saying he's very handsome.
Very handsome.
Muy guapo. Sorry. You barely speak English.
Yeah, it's true.
You know.
I speak Delco. Yeah.
You guys forced me into speaking on this podcast.
I'm only fluent in fucking Delco, bro. I don't fucking speak that fucking Spanish, man. Fuck that. Tacos, burritos, and fucking woo-hoo, Taco Bell. Good.
He's got a few questions here, but I'm going to read one of them. What the fuck is going on with De La Hoya after the Tank Garcia fight with that crazy rant about death threats? Bernard Hopkins trying to rub testosterone cream on Tank and then ghosting the post-fight press conference. Is this legit or is De La Coca on the fucking methamphetamines again?
That whole like Bernard rubbing, that's fucking nonsense. That's so fucking stupid. De La Hoya getting death threats? I mean, look, we take stuff at as you guys. I haven't heard anything. I just think it's kind of weird. I think it speaks louder to they may have thought Ryan quit. We've discussed that ad nauseum last.
We did.
Yeah. Garcia fired Goosen after that fight. I don't think he's like the nicest guy to be around, Garcia. He's already beefed with Oscar in the past, so that could have something to do with it. I don't. The death threat thing could be legit too. I don't know.
That's all going to implode, guys.
Yeah,
Oscar, Ryan, everything.
Absolutely,
that's all going to implode soon.
Yeah. The death threat thing. The place is filled with security, so you take that at. I don't know, man. It sounds fucking silly to me.
Yeah, the whole thing was weird, though. I got
a death threat. Well, what are you, the president? The fuck out of here. Okay. That's my thoughts on that.
And at the end, he has a little PS. Billy, Knockies isn't working. How about Knockout Nation or Box Brigade? I could get behind something like that one.
No, it's Knockies.
Well, my favorite part about this is the way he spells Knockies, which is K-N-O-C-H-I-S. And it reminds
like
me of... Yeah, Inyokis. And I'm like, I think we should call them the Inyokis.
The Inyokis?
Inyokis.
I support that.
Yeah. I love gnocchi.
Yeah, it's the best.
Yeah.
Our gnocchis help this show continue.
Yeah. The gnocchi bolognesis. All right. No, they're the Knockies.
He doesn't support our stupidity. He wants to be like a real.
Yeah, no.
You know, like, yeah, we made it dumb. For anyone,
right.
For any of those out there that think we think it's cool, we don't. It's stupid.
It's hilarious. It's so dumb.
Guys, my fucking Twitter got hacked. It's at Vinny underscore Paz. We're trying to get it back. It's just, I don't know what happened. I'm in the process of trying to think of how to get it back. I filled out whatever I had to fill out. I'm going to be tweeting stuff boxing related from the JMT Twitter account. It's at JMT Hip Hop, simple and plain, at JMT Hip Hop.
Hey guys, listen, flood Elon Musk DMs to get Vinny's Twitter reinstated.
Actually, if you do like write like tag Twitter and tag the at Vinny underscore Paz thing, like yo, get this guy's stuff back. It might work.
Yeah, make sure you write Elon.
Then I'll get banned.
No, he's got like 8 billion followers. One retweet from Elon and we're golden.
We're back in business.
On
IG, it's Box Cutter Paz. It's on violent. Facebook, it's not at all. On Facebook, it's Vinny Paz. We have the Knock 'Em Out the Box shirts, jmtstore.com. I didn't know if we had any left because Brandon's family got half of the shipment.
They're homeless.
Drop shipped to his house.
What are you talking about? I have to fucking clothe these people. You know what I mean?
What is your deal? What is your gimmicks? The stupid...
It's better than the violent, murderous rant. Yours should just be like, shoot your mother in the face at friends.
Not at all. Everyone needs a box cutter. Open it up to Amazon.
No, we've discussed this.
I use a box cutter quite often, actually.
Do you?
Yes. Amazon.
I use a box cutter quite often. You don't use a box cutter on that fucking beard, Moses. All right? Look at that thing.
Don't hate.
Jesus. No, what's in there? You probably pull out food from 2 weeks ago out of that fucking thing. It's I don't even know what my fucking Twitter is.
Killer B.
Oh, Killer B 24 on Twitter. And at I underscore no underscore that underscore kid on Instagram. I only have two. And then, yo, follow us on, subscribe on YouTube.
Yeah, guys, we got to run those numbers up because it's a new page.
Right.
We were putting all this YouTube stuff up on the Vinny Paz YouTube, which has tons of subscribers, you know, alhamdulillah. But we want to build this page so we can do like exclusive content there, you know, moving forward. Might do live stuff, but we're not going to do it if you don't get the, you know, the subscribers up. It's not worth it. You know what I mean?
It's KOTB podcast. At right. KOTB. Yes. Billy, do you have to put in the at for YouTube?
I think if you just search Knock 'Em Out the Box, it'll come
yeah,
up.
Yeah, Knock 'Em Out the Box.
The podcast. At is like the direct way to get it.
Gotcha. Yeah. And guys, remember, you know, whatever platform you listen to us on, rate, you know, subscribe, review.
Yeah, exactly.
Let us know your thoughts and keep writing in the letters and it keeps Billy busy.
What is the email address?
At kotbboxing@gmail.com. Oh, not at kotbboxing@gmail.com.
And come up with names for Billy's fans.
I like
come
it.
Up with a name for Billy's.
For Billy's what?
For his fan base.
Oh, the beardies.
Uh-huh.
Billy's
beardies?
Billy's beardies.
So stupid.
Billy's beardies. Look at his beard,
Billy's
though.
Beardies.
He's got a good beard.
He really does.
Do you ever braid it? Like you're in a bike gang? Why not? You should do the double fucking braid joint. You should do that.
I do blow dry my beard, though. So there's
wow.
That.
Really?
I'm at that level. And with right, that, guys, thanks for the great episode.
Enjoy the fights, all the marbles, guys. We need more unified, you know, lineal, undisputed guys. And we're going to, you know, that's going to happen this weekend.
All right, yo. I'm out.
Peace.
Peace.
Knock 'em out the box, pass. Knock 'em out. Knock 'em out the box, B.